Scott Williams, my namesake, with me. Connor, how do people call in?
People can call if they call 844-967-2789.
Well, and they should use a telephone if they're going to do that, right? That would be the best way.
Or you can just call out into the air.
Yeah, yeah.
If you take ayahuasca, you can reach out through the spiritual dimension.
That's right.
If you see Aaron Rodgers on your way, say hi for me.
So we have a caller, do we?
We got a couple callers. We got David from San Francisco on line one, and we got Martin on line two. So
okay, well let's go for distance first. We'll go to David in San Francisco.
Okie doke.
David. Hi, how are you?
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, morning. And I didn't catch who your co-host was, but morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, do I hear right? Trump is coming to town?
Yeah, Trump, well, he's coming to Waukesha, not San Francisco, but yeah, he's coming to Waukesha. Apparently, the most interesting part about that news blurb was that no other state or federal official was going to be in appearance there. So apparently, Republicans are beginning to worry about whether proximity to Donald Trump is a good idea or not.
You know, right. Well, and it gives you an opportunity, since Trump committed so many crimes, civil and criminal, there have got to be hundreds of thousands of lawsuits waiting for him. And, you know, a process server is somebody that'll deliver a summons, right?
Yeah.
And the Secret Service is, you know, if someone is a registered notary in your town and also a process server, Secret Service, there should be a way that a person can get past the Secret Service and hand him some summonses. And somebody must have a fat bundle of them, and Wisconsin alone must have a fat bundle of them. So I'm just wondering, first of all, is there an opportunity to get that done? And otherwise, Trump is basically pretending that he's above the law by being protected by Secret Service, who may have been involved with January 6th. So this would be the furtherance of a crime.
I think Donald Trump has probably had a lifelong experience of avoiding service of summons. I suspect he's particularly good at spotting someone who might be someone who's got a summons in his hand or in his pocket, and making sure that he does not either reach out his hand and shake hands or say, yes, I am Donald Trump, in response to the question. So,
thing, drop it at their feet.
I suppose.
I've served a few.
Oh, you're a process server.
I'm not an official, but I did one in a police board meeting. This famous evil cop out here in San Francisco was getting an award. So he's getting ready to walk up to get his award, hit him in the service with it right in the middle of a public meeting. And so he could not avoid it. He could not. Yeah, it was great. But the other thing I was going to raise,
have you ever thought this could be a TV show series? You know, don't you think you should write the screenplay for a weekly show about a very dramatic process serving?
That's right. It's nice to meet you, and here you go.
Yeah, that's right. Just there you go.
Absolutely.
Stick it to him.
Yeah, I mean, they were trying to get William Randolph Hearst for years.
There you go.
I was
being facetious, Steve. Huh?
Sure. What I was going to lead to was, you know, I come originally from St. Louis, really bigoted city. They played all the religions against each other, the races against each other, the nationhood, the languages against each other, and it was that the bigots could hog the tax dollars. You know, whichever bigot was in charge was able to deny taxes to, you know, use of road taxes or use of sewer board taxes to certain neighborhoods just because of bigotry. And this has been going on for centuries, but we, the people, have got to figure out a way where, you know, the taxes are actually evenly distributed as opposed to being run by a pack of bigots. And, you know, something like this abortion ruling, that's totally unprovable. Their BS about it being murder, whether or not it's alive, whether there's, you know, whole layers of abortion that are unprovable. Wow. And if they're going to have tax dollars spent on unprovable budgets, the bigots are able to take tax dollars and have them spent.
I would interject. I would just say one thing I would hope, like, it's not even that I disagree with there's a lot of points that are floating right now, but, you know, by only calling them the bigots, I feel like if we can be more specific, I understand where now we're referencing, I feel like, St. Louis in the past.
Joe McCarthy's a good example, whether he'd be called a bigot or whether he was just a liar.
Well, right.
He actually got millions of dollars, billions of dollars. To this day, Joe McCarthy's ghost is still causing tax dollars to be spent on wild goose chases.
Well, you know, I think this is interesting. I started out this show talking about complexity and simplifying it, and I do think you're talking about both complicated subjects, and I think you are simplifying them. And so, you know, I think it would probably take a long time to have the conversation you've initiated about all the complexities, but thanks for calling in today.
Sure, yeah. We just saw it in action in St. Louis.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
And Connor, we have another caller. Connor?
Yep, he's on.
Oh, who will we have? Who is this?
Martin.
Hey, good morning.
Morning, Martin.
This is Marty. Thank you. Marty from Milwaukee.
Yeah, Martin, how are you? What do you have to say?
Marty, I think he said.
Yeah, that was a very interesting call. I'm getting a lot of feedback here.
Yeah, I think, are you talking on your speakerphone?
Yeah, I'm. My bad.
Okay.
Good morning, Sandy. That was a very interesting call. It kind of dives into what I was going to say and ask you a very specific question about economics, because I do not understand how we cannot talk about city economics when we talk about economics in general. And my question, I don't know the correct answer, is not macroeconomics, USA economics, the jobs report, the supply chain, all the great issues that you bring up and bring to our attention, international politics and so forth. At the end of the day, isn't American economics about what happens in the cities? Is it not the aggregate of all the great cities in America, putting people to work, creating the economy, creating jobs and homes and business and healthcare and all of that? Is that not the total aggregate of America?
Well, sure. I'm just wondering
what you think about cities.
Well, cities are obviously a very, very important ingredient just because of the density of the population, the numbers of people, the amount of GDP that is related to and devoted to and arises out of cities. And it really is kind of a linear relationship to population. There's a good portion of GDP that is generated out of non-metropolitan area parts of the country. But of course, there aren't as many people located there, and as a result, there isn't as much GDP generated there. Some places have a disproportionate amount of GDP generated to their population. That would be natural resource type development, oil country, and places like that have a disproportionate GDP development. Pardon me? Well, farming isn't disproportionate. That's probably more proportionate in terms of, but it could be disproportionate. So, you know, what you're saying is basically a simplification of just saying, look, most of the people in this country live in cities. I think if we could Google it, we'd find out that a massive super majority of the people in this country live in metropolitan areas. When you're looking at things that are important to the people in this country and to the economy of this country, it primarily relates to metropolitan areas, but not only. And one of the problems that I think the Democratic Party has made over the past 15, 20 years has been that they have over-concentrated on urban areas to the exclusion of looking at less urban areas. And I think the genius that Donald Trump had, I hate to attribute genius to that man, but I think he had it, was his ability to tap into the feelings of the less urban parts of this country and the politics and the things that resonated with them. And I think if you looked at his base, you would find that his base is significantly less urbanized than the people we're talking about.
Yeah, I was just trying to get to your original thought, where you take a complex issue and trying to make it a little more simplistic. And you guys are talking about schools and so forth. That all goes to cities. But the previous caller made an excellent point, because right now in the city of Milwaukee, And I would love for you to do a deep dive on the city of Milwaukee and their economics and bring that back to us someday. It would take a lot of research. But right now we have the situation in Milwaukee where the people of Mequon and the people of Brookfield, the people outside the city of Milwaukee are pulling the strings, are controlling the purse strings of the city of Milwaukee, even though they do not contribute directly through taxes and so forth to the city's economy. But they are in total control of the city's economy.
Yeah, well, they
seem to be correct. That goes back to the St. Louis example.
Yeah, we can talk about
correct example.
Yeah, we're going to a break now. We can talk a little bit about that when we get back from the break. Thanks.